Thanks a lot for having me. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me on the show, Steve. It should be a good one.
Thanks for having me, Steven.
Double X, anytime, man.
Christopher Mad Dog Russo here. You are listening to Steven Strom on TalkNorth.com.
Always passionate, always fiery. You're listening to the Strom Sports Show. Take it away, Steven.
Great to have you in. I hope you had a great Thanksgiving. Happy December on this third day, Friday, everybody. Welcome into the Strom Sports Show, episode 174 on the great TalkNorth.com. We're working on some guests here. We don't know if it's going to be Adam Rittenberg of ESPN, covers college football. We have a couple of guys in mind. We'll see how it goes here as we go throughout the pod. But we have a lot to get into. And again, we didn't do a show last week. I was on with John Krasinski on TalkNorth.com, of course. We talked about the Heat and the Wolves. Ended up being an awesome game. I was torn the entire time. I'm looking at Anthony Edwards go up and dunk over Gabe Vincent, who I also love. It was such a tough, tough game to watch because, you know, I got the team that I'm working for right now, and I got the team that I grew up with but have really done nothing for me my entire life, and all of a sudden they've won five in a row, and they're off to one hell of a last couple of weeks. So it was really tough to watch that game. But we have so much to get into, and there was a couple of stories I wanted to hit on. I want to talk a little bit about PJ Fleck. I sent out a tweet after Saturday's win against Wisconsin, claiming he's the best coach in Minnesota. I also was annoyed with people's reaction on Twitter about Kirk Cousins' blunder, you know, taking a snap under the guard. Just people are so stupid. I mean, they really, like, the people that are out there saying, oh, Kirk Cousins can't handle the moment. Oh, my gosh. I mean, just sounds so ridiculous. I want to get into that, too. But there's one story, and there are two coaches that have completely flipped my mood this week for the negative, okay? There are two coaches out there, one of them who I absolutely love in Lincoln Riley, and there's another one that I'm indifferent about in Brian Kelly. And the story was on Saturday when Oklahoma lost to Oklahoma State, a reporter asked Lincoln Riley, hey, are you going to LSU? I mean, the rumors are, he said, quote, I am not going to be the next head coach at LSU, close quote. So everyone's like, all right, well, is it shame on the reporter for not asking the right question? Is it shame on Lincoln Riley for taking the USC job? Well, the next morning he takes the USC job. And I'm sitting there and I'm just like, all right, like that was kind of shady. Like the fact that he went up there convincingly and said, I am not. It was like the whole thing with Aaron Rodgers. I am not, or I am immunized, right? And then he's not vaccinated. It's like there's a white lie in between there. Yes, you're not going to LSU, but you're going to USC. Yes, you're immunized, but you're not vaccinated, right? It was just that, like, you know what you're doing. You know exactly how you're doing it, and you're trying to trick us. And eventually, we all know that the truth always comes to the top. So Lincoln Riley goes to USC, and I'm sitting there, and I'm just like, all right, kind of annoyed by that, but I'm not freaking out. The moment I freaked out was when I saw Brian Kelly accept a job at LSU. Couple of things here. Brian Kelly and Notre Dame, they're 11-1 right now, right? They just beat Stanford, had a really nice win, finished their season 11-1 in the complete thick of things. I mean, things can happen. Georgia can beat Alabama and they're out. Michigan can lose to Iowa. And all of a sudden, Notre Dame is in the college football playoff. This move from Brian Kelly, and I thought the Lincoln Riley one was bad. This move from Brian Kelly is one of the most gutless, spineless decisions I have ever witnessed in college football, heck, in coaching, in sports. 11-1 with a shot at the college football playoff, and people have the audacity, specifically coaches and old school guys, have the audacity to chirp a guy like Will Greer for not playing in the Camping World Bowl because he doesn't want to get injured. This is a wake-up call for anyone that believes the genuineness of college football culture. It is so out the window. I mean, now, I'm not going to sit here and say every program is nonsense, but for the coaches, and I know these are the messages that they send, finish what you started, be true to yourself, don't, you know, stick up for your teammates, be there even when the tough, you know, when the bad gets going, make sure you're in there with, you know, with your head held high. All that crap is nonsense. And this is a reason why. Brian Kelly, 11-1, has a chance at the college football playoff, sends a text message to his entire team saying, sorry, guys, that you guys figured out through social media. Let's talk for 11 minutes, and then I'm going to get out of here and get to LSU. It just infuriates me. And as a former college athlete, I was Division III. You can make fun of me. I don't really care. I transferred before, and I had a coach look at me and say, you're really going to quit on us? You're really going to cop out like that? And that was the moment I'm like, this is a guy that wanted me so bad to come to your school. And things didn't work out the way that it worked out for, we didn't, you know, he didn't want it to work out one way, I didn't want it to work out for the other. I'm not going to get into it. But the bottom line is, I left, and I wasn't getting money. I wasn't getting all these things that Brian Kelly's going to get, $10 million a year. And people had the audacity to criticize me for transferring. People had the audacity to criticize Will Greer for sitting out in the Camping World Classic. It's ridiculous. It is absolutely ludicrous. And the same people that give crap to the players that transfer after they don't play for a year or maybe two, you better have the same energy with Brian Kelly. You better have the same energy with Lincoln Riley. I love Lincoln Riley. The fact that you say you're not going to LSU and then you go to USC, man, it doesn't sit well with me. Finish the season, then make the decision. Brian Kelly, same thing. Finish your season. Finish what you started. What happened to the principle of finishing what you started, right? What's the point of having a contract? These guys renegotiate, and that's a huge problem with college football. The Vikings can't pay Bill Belichick double the salary to bring in. These old school, I mean, Minnesota did it to PJ Fleck and Western Michigan or whatever he was at before. This infuriates me. You know, this whole idea that college football and these coaches are, they're looked at as gods, like Nick Saban and, you know, Dabo Sweeney, right? Like all these guys, they looked at like godly figures. Every, you know, last word we go by because they're about culture and you know, unselfishness and discipline and success. Again, I'm not going to sit here and overgeneralize every college football program. But Nick Saban looked at the Miami Dolphin media and said, I'm not going to college. He goes to Alabama. Lincoln Riley says he's not going to LSU. Then he goes to USC. Brian Kelly, 11-1. This one right here, this one puts me over the edge. And how about the quote that he says after the Stanford game? What a bunch of baloney. Ready? He goes, here's Kelly following the win versus Stanford. Quote, we've got one of the best four teams in my mind in the country, without question, and we're ready to prove it. Close quote. Yeah, you're ready to prove it. You're ready to prove it out in LSU. Unbelievable. It really infuriates me. So that's where we start here today. We'll do some real quick hitters, and then we'll get into our guest, our mystery guest today on the Strom Sports Show. PJ Fleck, right? A lot of people can't stand PJ Fleck because of the antics, and we've went over this discussion countless times, and I just tweeted, I said, look, PJ Fleck is the best coach in Minnesota right now. Got a lot of flack back, right? Talking about Dean Evason. Dean Evason is doing a great job with the Minnesota Wild, right? But before Dean Evason was there, the Wild made the playoffs like 6-7 straight times in a row. Now, granted, they never got past the first round, but this wasn't like a dormant franchise in the Wild. When the Wild acquired Parisian Suter from 2012, like, they were a perennial playoff team. Now, they didn't do much when they got in there, but like the Gophers were the Gopher. Like, I mean, we talk about Jerry Kill. He got to, you know, a New Year's Day bowl and got killed by Missouri. You know, the Gophers were a boring, dormant, didn't have a lot of flavor, didn't have a lot of life sort of program. And I think everyone here can agree with that. There was some nice times with Jerry Kill. There was a nice season with Tracy Claes, but there were some bad, bad years. PJ Fleck has put this program on the map. He's beaten Wisconsin twice. He's won 11 games in the season. He beat Auburn in the Outback Bowl. How can I sit here and not give the guy credit? You want to bring up the Bowling Green loss? I mean, it is what it is. It didn't affect them late in the year. The loss that hurt him was the Iowa one. And Nebraska, if they hold on, they go to the Big Ten championship. Now, I'm in agreement that just beat Iowa, right? Like, you shouldn't have to worry about other teams taking care of business of you. I agree with that statement. Minnesota needs to beat Iowa. But right now, it's not Zimmer. Right now, it's not, well, listen, Chris Finch is on his way if he keeps winning like this. Rocco Baldelli, Dean Evason's a close one. I'm giving the nod to PJ Fleck. He's completely revamped this program. 34-23, putting guys in the NFL draft, keeping guys back at school. Tanner Morgan's coming back for like a fifth or sixth year. Muhammad Ibrahim is coming back. You don't come back to a program if you don't love the coach, you don't love the culture. You don't. And he's got both of those things. He's winning. He's putting guys in the NFL. He's recruiting. And he's beaten the team that we prayed we could beat. I mean, how sweet was that moment? Like, beating Wisconsin, crowd rushes the field, playing jump around. I mean, that's something that we dreamed about. We were always on the other end of that. I mean, it wasn't even a rivalry at points because Wisconsin constantly beat the Gophers. It's a different era now. And people love to hate PJ Fleck. Writers in Minnesota, coaches in the Big Ten. But you know what? If the guy wins, I could put up with whatever he does on the sideline. And that's just the God's honest truth. PJ Fleck is the best coach right now in Minnesota. All right, really quickly on the Kirk Cousins thing. Literally like a minute. For the people out there that are going on Twitter and then they're saying, oh my God, Kirk Cousins, he lined up under the guard. He can't handle the moment. Oh my God, oh my God. So beyond me that that's actually like, there is stupid and then there's just beyond stupid stuff that I read on Twitter. If you watch the game and you see he's scrambling to find out what kind of play call, people aren't in the right spots. Jefferson's in one spot, Thielen's in the other. He's trying to direct traffic. There's 3 seconds on the play clock. He's trying to get the snap off. If you think for 1 second that the pressure caved in on Kirk Cousins and he lined up under a guard because he couldn't handle the moment, that is just one of the most ignorant, stupid. I mean, it's just so beyond me. It got me so angry watching people sit here and get on Kirk Cousins. Have you watched him this season lead the Vikings down in multiple winning drive situations? Did you see him when he led down the Vikes against the Cardinals and Greg Joseph missed a field goal? Did you see him lead down the Vikings against Cincinnati and Dalvin Cook fumbled? Did you see multiple times in Carolina lead him down and win the game and then in overtime? Please. A game versus San Francisco isn't making or breaking Kirk Cousins' mental. When he gets down late in the game. It's just so immature the way Twitter reacts to this kind of stuff. And actual journalists are like giving Kirk Cousins crap about him like going under center. I mean, it's just beyond me. The guy has 3 interceptions and 23 touchdowns, and we're sitting here and we're taking this moment and completely blowing it up. It's absolutely ridiculous. So that's where I'm at with that. All right, I'll spoil for you. Adam Rittenberg, ESPN college football senior writer. He's coming up next year. Lincoln Riley, Brian Kelly, championship weekend. You don't want to miss out. He's up next year on the Strom Sports Show. All right, and to help us break down a wild week of college football, Adam Rittenberg of ESPN, senior writer, college football, SiriusXM, college host, just does a really great job as far as college football goes, and it's been a crazy, crazy week. Adam, have you had a chance here to catch your breath after just, I mean, story after story after story? How busy has it been for you this week?
Yeah, you know, busy just because we had a couple of surprises. No one really saw Lincoln Riley necessarily making the move he did to USC. And then Brian Kelly followed up the next day. And then, you know, we had Notre Dame news with Marcus Freeman and even Virginia now with Bronco Mendenhall surprisingly stepping down. So it's been a lot in a relatively short period of time. You know, we only have a few Power Five jobs that are still open. Mm-hmm. And there still are, you know, some Group of Five jobs. So I wouldn't say it's winding down. I would say it's probably in the middle. But probably, you know, a little bit past the middle of the carousel. But yeah, that Sunday, Monday stretch is unlike anything I've covered before.
And you know what? Busy is good in your world. So that's great to hear. Let's do, I guess, first the structure of college football, because I think people, my opinion on Brian Kelly obviously is a strong one. I don't agree with him leaving at this time, but the way that college football is structured in early signing periods, you have to take that into consideration. So I'll throw it to you here. Let's just get your initial reaction on both of these guys. And what was your first thought?
Right. Well, yeah, I mean, Lincoln Riley, because a lot of the rumors had been about LSU, even though I was repeatedly told that that wasn't going to happen. And so it seemed like he was going to stay put at Oklahoma, even though they didn't make the Big 12 championship and the playoff. But then, you know, certainly USC coming in, I give them a lot of credit because, you know, there's been some schools in the market this year, Stephen, that haven't really been prepared to be in the market. Understandably, they didn't expect their coaches to be either fired or leaving. But USC was prepared. They'd been preparing for this really for years. And while they didn't know for sure they'd get Lincoln Riley, when the moment came, and especially after they lost Bedlam to Oklahoma State, Mike Bone and his team were really ready. And they went in and made a great pitch, and they were able to convince him to leave a great situation for potentially an even better one at USC. And so to me, it was the first time in really a decade that USC acted like USC, acted like they should, acted like a true blue blood that has all this great tradition and all these advantages. And I think in some ways it took an athletic director from the outside, Mike Bone, who, again, was not their first or second choice, to understand how to sell USC to a coach like Lincoln Riley, who can really be a transformative type of hire for USC and really the Pac-12.
Do we think, like, is it that fickle that he, because he talked about Sunday was the time that he did it happen that quickly? And like, if like Lincoln Riley beats Oklahoma State, is it that like the sliding door moment? Is it that fickle here? Like, you do you believe that after that Oklahoma State loss, he was able to just pretty much turn him to the other side?
Well, here's the thing. So there's certainly conversations with agents and other people about, you know, interest level, right, during the season. But timing matters because you're not engaging Lincoln Riley if he wins Bedlam. Then you're waiting a week. And at that, a lot can change in a week, right? You know, another coach that you might have been talking to might say, "I want the job. Let's make this happen." Or you hear from Lincoln Riley's agent, "You know what? He's in the Big 12 championship. He might get in the playoff." Yeah. So the timing of it matters in that sense. You know, was this the first time they approached his camp about it? No. But in terms of direct contact with him and, "Hey, this is what we got. Are you interested?" I do believe that happened after the loss in the Bedlam game, because if they win, he doesn't want to talk about USC.
100%.
He's trying to get his team prepared for the Big 12 championship. So, you know, we saw it with Notre Dame, you know, in a different way. Like, you know, normally if Cincinnati was not in the playoff hunt, I firmly believe Luke Fickell's their next head coach, or at least there would be a real decision there. But because Cincinnati may not be, the coach may not be available for, you know, several weeks, you know, Notre Dame seemingly has moved forward with Marcus Freeman, who I think is a great choice. But that's how tricky this is. And that's why it's important to not just, you know, zero in on one person, but be open to the fact that there could be other things that happen, other people that emerge based on the timing and the availability.
Adam Rittenberg with us now, ESPN senior writer, college football. Because that was my next question to you, Adam. It was like, if Notre Dame is undefeated and they're in this thing, you don't think there's a chance that Brian Kelly leaves?
Well, I mean, I don't know what to think, because he did leave a team that has a chance to get to the playoff. Now, if they're undefeated, you know, maybe he doesn't, but I don't know. I mean, I think that, and I wrote about this earlier this week for ESPN Plus, we may be in the era of coaches that are leaving playoff teams at times. As shocking as that is, because if it expands to 12, you're going to have more coaches that are in demand. And, you know, if those suitors want to make those hires around now, you're going to have a problem. You're going to have coaches that have to make that decision. Do I go forward with my playoff team, or do I take the job that I want? Clearly, this is a job that Brian Kelly wanted. Otherwise, you don't leave what's a really stable situation and a great program at Notre Dame. You will never know. My inclination is no. But again, he did leave a team that, if a few things go right, is going to get in the top four on Sunday. And Brian has talked to me several times over the years that I've covered him about the only goal that matters when you're Notre Dame's coach is to win a national championship.
Yep.
And you can't guarantee being in that position year after year. This would have been a position where, listen, do I think they would have won a national title? No. And probably maybe deep down, he knew that as well.
He maximized that team. He squeezed every last ounce of talent, I feel like.
But they would be a hot team. They've been dominant lately, and they would be in the top four. And you have chosen to leave that team, to not be part of that opportunity to possibly win a national title.
We'll get off Lincoln Riley and Brian Kelly in just a sec here. I just have a little bit of a theory, because, again, it's hard for me. I actually was really passionate about it. I played Division III basketball. I actually was a transfer, and I won't name, you know, coaches or teams or anything. But when I transferred, you know, the first thing the coach says to me is, "Oh, how do you turn your back? All this kind of stuff, like your first year." And that's why I have a special place here for the coaches. And you know, college football and just college sports culture is all about you know, not turning your back, you know, staying in the fight, finishing what you started. So I think that's what really infuriates me. But at the same time, because of the early signing period, because this is really the best chance for you, if this is your chance to go, because everyone is for sale. I don't care what anyone says. Everyone is for sale when it comes to, you know, money, right? Like, you're happy where you're at until someone else gives you a little bit of a salary bump. So that's kind of where I was at with that. But with Lincoln Riley, really quickly, it's hard for me to think that he never, throughout the year, throughout wherever, he wasn't thinking about USC. And what I was thinking towards that even further was, do you think that he possibly looked at his two quarterbacks in Spencer Rattler, who struggled, right? And was like, if I move here, you know, let me give Caleb Williams a shot. And let me really make sure, is it, you know, possibly if I leave, am I going to take one of these two? Is there any theory behind that that you'll know?
Listen, I mean, could Caleb Williams join him at USC? Absolutely. I'd be stunned if Spencer Rattler did. I think Spencer Rattler is going to be playing for a different coach next year. I'd be surprised if Lincoln was that calculated. But I understand the sentiment from Oklahoma people that, you know, unlike Brian Kelly, who's very slowly putting together a staff, you know, Lincoln Riley went to LA with his defensive coordinator, Alex Grinch, and other, you know, like, it seemed like they were ready to hit the ground running. So I understand that part of it. And maybe he did, you know, see this as a last hurrah at Oklahoma. You know, it's impossible to not notice that the USC job was open. I mean, it was open so early. So, you know, maybe it's something he did think about, you know, privately, but I don't think he was that calculated with the quarterback situation.
I hope not.
I could get one. I hope not. I hope not as well, because there's obviously other players. You know, they have a quarterback that's committed for the 2023 class already at USC. They have Jackson Dart, who's there. You know, I could see somebody transferring in. I really don't think that's how it went down.
Okay, let's go to the college football playoff here. Is there any way Cincinnati goes undefeated and they're not in the college football playoff if we have statement wins this weekend?
Yeah, so I think the way it happens is, certainly Alabama beating Georgia, because that would put both of those teams in.
Yep.
And then it would be Oklahoma State dominating Baylor, because, you know, the thing that Cincinnati doesn't have that Oklahoma State has is a stronger resume of who they've beaten. You know, they Oklahoma State has a loss, and it's to an unranked team in Iowa State, but they have, you know, a one win over a top 10 now, and another team in Oklahoma that's 14. So, you know, that would be three wins over the committee's top 15 teams, you know, and several of them, you know, down the stretch, well, back to back, Baylor and Oklahoma State or Oklahoma. So that would be the concern. I don't think Cincinnati has anything to worry about with Notre Dame. Notre Dame can't improve its resume. Unfortunately, doesn't have the resume based on its schedule. So it's really going to come down to Oklahoma State or Cincinnati for that last spot. If Alabama indeed beats Georgia, if Georgia beats Alabama, I see no way Cincinnati's left out if they're able to beat Houston on Saturday.
And also Cincinnati beat Notre Dame too. So I think that makes even more clear that they would be in there. Is Georgia just like, and again, obviously I'm with the Heat. I'm trying to stay in tune as much as I can with college football. And every week I see Georgia just roll. Is it really, in your opinion, Georgia and everyone else, or are you expecting this to be, I think the spread is like 9 or something like that, if I'm not mistaken. Let me check, because I don't want to get that wrong for the people that are listening. Because Alabama, I don't know, 6.5. Okay, so I was a little bit off. Is it Georgia versus everyone else? And if it is, the defense obviously is great, but the offense, are you comfortable in a big spot with that quarterback and the run game? Give me your thought on Georgia.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're the best team in the country. You know, but again, this is a stage that they haven't exactly been their best on in terms of SEC championship game and then college football playoff. And are they able to finish this off? You know, with a really good quarterback in Stetson Bennett, but not an elite one in the eyes of many. So it would be a different formula to win a national title. But I do think the fact that Ohio State's out of the way now is a huge plus for Georgia, because, you know, I think they match up really well with the potential playoff teams. You know, Oklahoma State, for example, is a team that's very much relying on their defense. Their defense has been outstanding under coordinator Jim Knowles, but Georgia's got a better defense. You look at Michigan, really, really good at the line of scrimmage. You saw them bully Ohio State in that win. But Georgia's probably better at the line of scrimmage, at least on the defensive side. So I don't know. And Cincinnati's a heck of a team. They obviously met last year in the Peach Bowl, and it came down to the wire. Cincinnati really led that game most of the way. But I see Georgia as 7 to 10 points better than Cincinnati. So I just don't know who's going to beat them unless they have an off performance and unless they struggle on that big stage.
Fair enough. All right, last one for you. Being down here in Miami, there's a lot of chaos. It's been an up and down season. I've tried to follow it as much as I can. Tyler Van Dyke taking the team by storm. I mean, he's really played well the last couple of games. I think they won 5 out of 6. Manny Diaz, don't know what's happening with him. Blake James, obviously out at Miami. Where do you think, I guess, direction-wise, Miami should head? If you've heard anything on ADs and with Manny Diaz, just give me your thought here on Miami.
Well, they have to sort out the athletic director situation because it's been kind of a mess. They have had obviously different candidates that have been in the mix, out of the mix. Comments that were made, you know, some reporters about just how messy the search has been, and I think it's hard to make a decision at that point on Manny Diaz because I think he's a bit of a divisive figure in terms of some people that are influential want him to be back in 2022. Some want Miami to move on. If they do move on, who can they get? You know, Mario Cristobal from Oregon would be at the top of the list. He's also very expensive. He's got a $9 million buyout.
And I don't know if Miami has that pocket like USC just did. Like I don't know if they're willing to put forth all of that.
Yeah, I think all these schools have some money. It's just a matter of are they able to, get on the same page and say, this is how we're going to do it. And again, why would Mario Cristobal leave Miami other than for sentimental reasons? Mm-hmm. He's in a great situation at Oregon. They're going to have their best team next year. He's put this roster together through really good recruiting. I mean, Miami obviously means a lot to him. He played there, family's from there, grew up in the city. But I think Oregon's a better situation right now. So it's going to take quite the pitch, I think, to get a guy like Mario. You certainly don't rule it out. And if it's not him, then who are you getting? And then is it worth making a coaching change when it's clearly a unstable time at the university with the athletic director situation? I think that really does need to get worked out. I thought that was going to happen much quicker.
Way quicker.
Come together much quicker. And it hasn't. And we're sitting here in early December and the early signing date's coming up. And you do have Tyler Van Dyke on the roster. I think the offensive coordinator hire is going to be especially important because if you are going forward with Manny Diaz, they're going to need a new play caller on that side of the ball. So interesting times to say the least right now at the U.
Awesome stuff today, Adam. I really appreciate you jumping on again. Does a fantastic job at ESPN Rittenberg on Twitter. Keep up the great work. Thank you again for joining me. It's great to see you.
Okay. Thanks, Steve. Appreciate it.
All right, Adam Rittenberg, everyone, have a fantastic weekend. Buckle up. This is going to be an awesome, awesome sports weekend. We've got college football championship weekend. We've got the Vikings and the Lions. That is the toilet bowl, but hopefully they can figure out a way to win. Your Timberwolves are playing really well. Wild are still doing their thing. A great sports weekend. An awesome sports weekend. Couple upsets for you, just real quick, just off the rip. This is free content. This is just me blessing you guys this weekend. I love Michigan. I love Michigan. I think Iowa is extremely overrated. I would hammer Michigan with the points, minus 11. And then over Wake Forest, Pittsburgh, set 71. This game's going to be like 40-40. It's going to be an awesome game. Two great quarterbacks. Kenny Pickett, possible sleeper in next year's draft. Kenny Pickett, folks, Pittsburgh, 10-2 this year. And then on the other side of the ball, you've got Wake Forest, who scores at will. Sam Hartman, QB1, Netflix. Been following him for a couple of years now. He's having a breakout year. This is going to be a really fun game. So just an awesome week, weekend ahead of sports, and obviously Georgia and Alabama. So make sure to check out all the other shows here on the TalkNorth.com podcast network. My Twitter is at @SSTROM_. You'll get Viking stuff on the weekend, and you're going to get Miami Heat stuff during the week. That's just how it goes, folks. Thanks, everyone, for listening. We'll talk to you next Friday here on the Strom Sports Show.